so much, Ray and Charlotte. We appreciate your faithfulness all these years that we've been together. And Ray often mentions he appreciates all those who have been a part or are a part of our music ministry, and we're certainly thankful for them all these years that we've been together. And it's been about 22, going on 22, that we've been together. And we appreciate them so much. Good to see you tonight. Hope that you had a good afternoon and that you were able to get some rest. If not, just wait. Don't get it now. Just wait a few minutes. We'll let you out momentarily. And as Brother Doug said, our short meeting tonight will be brief as far as we can tell and forecast. It will be brief. So if you want to fellowship, don't just run off. Just wait a few minutes. If you're visiting with us tonight and you're not a voting member, you can wait and fellowship with us. We'll be done with that momentarily, the Lord willing. Let's turn this evening to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. We are looking at, or we are going through a series that we have entitled The Biblical Principles of Forgiveness. And the way we have gone about this is we are kind of working our way backward, and we started in the epistles and highlighted one very familiar passage in Ephesians chapter 4. And we know that verse, be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another. We looked at some of the important aspects of that. We looked last time at Luke 17, a very interesting passage which tells us that we are to forgive any time someone comes and asks, and no matter what, and no matter how, no matter when, and no matter how often. That's a difficult thing. It's easy to read about, it's easy to talk about, or maybe teach about, but it's one thing to do that, and it's another thing to put it into practice. And that is why the disciples themselves say in that passage, Lord, increase our faith. And our Lord comes and He says, as you recall, He says, look, it doesn't take extraordinary faith to do this command. But what it takes is it takes the kind of faith through the Holy Spirit of God to be able to forgive in this manner. We can't do it ourselves. We cannot do it in our own human strength. It has to be done through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. For what He tells us to do is not natural. It is not. It does not come by us in a way that natural to us as believers or even human beings. All of these passages that we're looking at are that way. We come to one tonight in two simple verses. The message is simple. Again, it's by no means deep or revelatory in that regard, but yet it is a difficult one to put into practice perhaps on a consistent basis. And for that, we have to ask the Lord to help us, to come and to work in our hearts and lives. And maybe there are some tonight who will find themselves in this verse, or they will find themselves in need of what these verses tell us and command us to do when it comes to forgiveness. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and verse 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Let us pray. Father, we come tonight and we're asking for you to speak to us through Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we are in need of, Lord, change in our hearts and lives often as we think of Your Scriptures and that which it commands us to do. Lord, we come upon certain passages of Scripture such as this, and Lord, our hearts are convicted. And I pray, Lord, that we would come away changed because of what we read and what we hear. Lord, I pray that we would listen to Your Holy Spirit tonight and we would come away changed. Lord, You would help us. Lord, we love You tonight. We thank You that we have an opportunity to be here and to worship together with one another. And so, Lord, now I pray that Thou wouldst undertake and You would bless us for Thy sake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have entitled this passage in our message tonight, A Reason to Forgive. A Reason to Forgive. And that's exactly what we find here. And we're going to narrow it down as we go through these verses for the reason that we are to forgive others. Again, I would point out and emphasize that this topic seems to be something, again, that we're well aware of. We've heard, no doubt, many messages on this, or even Sunday school lessons, or whatever it may be, or evangelists, I'm sure you have heard over the years, have preached on the importance of forgiveness. But it cannot be simple moments in time where we will forgive, and then we will go through our daily lives and routines, and we forget all about what we're really supposed to be doing on a daily basis, on a consistent basis, at the very least. And I think that's the way we are oftentimes. It's interesting to me that as you look at these passages, again, we are only touching some very familiar ones. The Scriptures, particularly the New Testament, has a lot to say about forgiveness. And I think it's interesting, if you study this out, you will find that every passage on forgiveness assumes that we will have differences or even difficulties with other people. Now, we've made that point in our messages already, and that is that as we are in this life and in this flesh, you and I are going to experience, whether you know it or not, and whether you've experienced it or not, some of our older folks in here, you can agree with this and you can verify this, that there are going to be times when you are going to have people problems. Now, it's just the fact of life. And it's interesting to me that the Scriptures, the New Testament, every passage assumes that there are going to be moments where you're going to have difficulties. In fact, the passage that we'll look at next week, in the Gospel of Matthew, is going to also assume that there will be such differences to the point where we will have those that we will consider enemies. And we'll talk about that. There are problems with people, the interpersonal relationships, we call it. And it's interesting that you will have businesses that will spend thousands upon thousands of dollars, and they train their employees regarding interpersonal relationships. It's in the business world. They understand the importance of it to manage and to maintain a successful business. My friends, look, it's even more important in the household of God and in the body of Christ to maintain those relationships. And by the way, again, that is not always easy. That's not always easy to do. But again, without going into all of the one another's of the New Testament, that's another study, and perhaps you've done that or again have heard of those studies, all of the one another's in the New Testament. Very interesting. But it speaks a lot to that. We have a job to do, and that is to learn how to the best within us. What does Paul say in Romans 12, that great chapter? He says, as much as lieth within you, do what? Live peaceably with all men. And I think, of course, the inference there is that sometimes it's not possible, but as much as lie within you, make sure that you are striving to do that. As much as lies within you, you strive to live peaceably with others. Not just those that we always like and get along with, but he says, all men, everybody. That's not an easy thing. And especially, I know, within the household of faith, when you have been hurt, and we've talked about that through this series, but pastors know, or at least they should know, that they speak to those within their congregations who have been deeply hurt. All of us have been in that category, and we have been affected in such a way, either by family or friends or others. It's a very hard thing. But I want to point out again is this, and we learned this from our last time together, and the last message that we have. I personally believe that no matter what is done to us, the Scriptures tell us that we are to always have a spirit of forgiveness. Now, full reconciliation may not always come in the sense that those who have wronged you come back and say, "Will you forgive me?" And only then can full reconciliation take place. Yet again, I want to emphasize that we should have the spirit and the attitude of forgiveness no matter what. Why? Because the Scripture tells us to. If nothing else, that's the best reason, by the way. You say, well, that's a hard, difficult thing. You don't know how hurt I have been. Well, again, that was not one of the qualifications in Luke 17. He says, if someone comes to you and they come seven times a day, do you recall that? And they say, "Forgive me," what is the response? Well, I've got to think about it. I've got to pray about it for a week and I'll get back to you. There was no such qualification in that passage. He says, "Forgive them." This is very similar, but I want you to notice three things from these two verses here this evening. First of all, we notice a command. We notice a command. And when ye stand praying, what's the word there? What is it? Forgive. And when ye stand praying, forgive. Isn't it interesting that this is written to, it is written to believers? Again, there's an assumption here that the believer is going to be communing with God. He's going to be praying. He's going to be talking with the Lord. There's the spiritual walk involved. And so he is addressing those, and he says, and when ye stand praying, and there's that one word, it stands out, doesn't it? Forgive. There's no qualifications. There's no additional requirements. He says, forgive. Now that word is very interesting because that word, aphiete, is the Greek word. And if you look it up, it is a present active imperative. Which means that's about the strongest command that you can have in the Greek. It's ongoing. You need to have this right now. It is a command. You are to be forgiving. It's a command. It's not a request. It's not saying, well, this is a suggestion that we have for you as believers, that when you are going about your daily life and your spiritual walk, that you may decide to forgive if you want to. He is saying when you are in the process of communing with your Heavenly Father, and there are things in your heart and life that are there that need to be taken care of, he simply says, forgive. You can't get much more simple than that. It's a command. We're to be doing this. And I often have to wonder, and I have to question in my own heart and life, am I following this command? And I wouldn't be honest with you tonight if I didn't say that there have been many times in my life where I haven't done this. And the ramifications are very serious if we don't. And that's what we're zeroing in on that this evening. But it's a command. How often do we, again, look at certain things in Scripture, we say, well, that's nice, that's good, I agree with it, amen. But yet, when we go out these doors in daily life and in daily practice, it's a little different. When you enter into your prayer closet tomorrow, are you going to be in the attitude and the spirit of forgiveness if the Holy Spirit convicts. We must be, because He commands it. But what's the motivation to do this? Well, He gives that in the last part of verse 25. If ye have aught, or if you have a grudge, we could use that term. If you have something against any, He says that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. There's the motivation. The motivation to forgive is that our sin will be forgiven as well. Now, we must qualify this. This is not talking about the forgiveness at salvation. This is talking about our relationship with the Lord. In fact, H.A. Ironside, he made this comment. He said, "This is not the forgiveness offered to a sinner, but to a failing saint." I like how he worded that. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. That is the motivation. Can we live our lives, can we go about our daily routines and tasks knowing that we are bearing a grudge because of what someone has said or done or how they have hurt you and I and in things past, and we say to ourselves, and we may not vocalize it to others, we may not, or I would say it this way, we might even have a hard time admitting it to ourselves, but here's the thought that sometimes runs through our minds: I just don't know if I can ever forgive that or that person. Christian, has that ever run through your mind? Well, our Lord is addressing that very thing. The disciples, no doubt, had problems with this. Those that the Lord addresses elsewhere in the Gospels, no doubt, had those thoughts that go through their mind. For, again, He is addressing people of flesh and blood like you and I. And there can be no doubt that those people had some of the same thoughts, the same difficulties, and the same struggles that you and I bear. But He says, look, the reason that you should do this and the main motivation is so that your Father will forgive you. You see, it all comes down to a word that we hear quite often, and I think it bears repeating, and we need to pay attention to it. And that is the word grace. You know, God's grace, and we've heard it, defined, we've heard it preached on, I'm sure, again. But one of the things I want to emphasize, believer, tonight is this, is that do you stop and realize that every moment of every day and everything that you do, we operate by the grace of God? Every day that we wake up and we're able to live and breathe and work and serve Him and do whatever He's called us to do, it's all by the grace of God. Everything. Our relationship most certainly can be affected by our sin. But my friends, listen, God never runs out or stops His grace. I think sometimes we think, well, He turns the faucet off when we sin, doesn't He? No, I think God's grace is still there. We're just not accessing it. God never turns away His grace from us. We must understand that. But now, again, the point and the inference, obviously, is that if we do not forgive others, if we keep that, if we, again, let's use the terminology that we use today, if we bear a grudge, there's going to be problems. We'll get to that in a moment. We see this all the time in our society, do we not? We see those who just can't get over the things that have been done to them. I can't help but think of, maybe it's a show that you watch on TV, and don't think that I'm condemning you for watching it, but there's a little show that kind of fits this, and it's called The People's Court. You ever watched that before? Okay. And I remember watching it when I was a young person with Judge Wapner. Do you remember him? Okay. And what's interesting about that show is, to me, is the things that people will go to quote-unquote court over is some of the silliest things, isn't it? And they're upset and they're mad and they want to get their revenge or they want to seek justice. Well, and that may be quote-unquote entertainment, but yet at the same time, in some ways, it's a little bit of a sad commentary, is it not? On our society, because you know what? It's not just the world that is like that. Oftentimes Christians are the same way. And oh, how over the years there have been those within the church of God who have been hurt and devastated. Churches and ministries have been destroyed because people bore grudges with one another and they've never gotten over that. They've never settled it. They've never reconciled with one another. Is it any wonder that God wouldn't bless? Do we have to question why God wouldn't bless that ministry or those people? Well, the motivation is so that God will forgive us. We see the result. The third thing we see in these two verses is the result in verse 26. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I think that verse, and again, it is a repeat of the Matthew 6, verse 15. In fact, if you're carrying a modern translation tonight, it may not be in your Bible because of textual issues that we're not going to address, but it's here, so we address it here. But if it's not, you can flip over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, and you'll find the same verse. And the important thing about it is this, is do we realize the weightiness of what that verse says? And I wonder how often or how many people we have in the church of God, in Christendom, who are guilty of this very thing. And they're going through all of the spiritual rituals, and yet deep within the recesses of their heart, they have something against someone, and God says, listen, I will not and cannot bless you if that's the case. Do we realize how serious that is? The result, I think, is really threefold. If you think about it, when he makes this statement in this verse, first of all, our prayer life is affected. Now you back up to verse 24 in this passage, one that we did not read, but as our Lord is instructing his disciples, he transitions into this little statement, this very significant statement on forgiveness, but he precedes that by saying this, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. He's talking about your prayer life, the faith that you have to have. But then he goes right into this statement on forgiveness. Will prayers be heard and answered if we have not forgiven? According to this, and again, other passages that would come into play, I have a hard time believing that it would. A verse that I thought about in connection that's a correlation to this is one in which Peter, he says, you know what? And he's speaking directly to husbands and wives. And Peter says what? He says, husbands, you need to dwell with your wives according to knowledge, And part of the reason that you are to have the proper kind of relationship with them, interestingly enough, is so that your prayers are not hindered. And I wonder, again, within the Church of God, how many of those who are sitting in pews and seats in the house of God even today, and they're sitting there together, and they've had animosity towards each other for years, and they've never forgiven one another. As husbands and wives. And that's where it starts. That's the foundation. That's the significant relationship. And I thought about that verse because, again, he says, look, you had better be careful here. One of the things over the years in ministry, as I have been in it now for over 30 years and have counseled and had opportunity to do some marriage counseling along the way, one of the first things I have told those who've come is, the first thing you need to do is ask the Lord to forgive you for the problems that you have brought into this relationship. And then, very closely connected to it and immediately, you need to forgive one another. Without those two things, that relationship, listen to me, will never work like it should. And it will never be something that will be pleasing to the Lord. And yet, that goes on all the time. More so than I think that we care to know or care to believe. But our prayer life can be affected. You've always heard the old saying that, well, if we've got sin in our lives, our prayers go no higher than the ceiling. And we like to use that kind of terminology or that analogy. Well, I don't know about that, physically speaking, but I think there's some truth to it. From this standpoint, if we have something again in our heart towards others, our prayers don't go very far. I think that's significant. The second thing as a result here, if we do not forgive, is our spiritual walk is hindered. Our spiritual walk is hindered. Again, what did we say earlier? We said this is not speaking of the relationship we have with God as far as salvation. But it's speaking of the ongoing relationship that we have with God on a daily basis. Christian, I don't know about you, but as you get older, you realize, do we not, how sweet that relationship really is. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And as you go in life, as you mature, as you walk with the Lord for many, many years, there is something so precious and sweet and comforting about being in the right relationship and in harmony with our Lord and Savior. I think we could say there's nothing like it in the world, and there certainly isn't. And it should affect us. Just like when we do have maybe problems in our relationships with others, and particularly husbands and wives, it should bother you when there are problems within that relationship, by the way. It should bother you to the point where you get things right with one another. Okay. I don't know about you, but when there have been difficulties between me and my wife, and by the way, you say, you have, yeah, yeah. Okay. There's not a one in here who hasn't. But I will say this, and I think some would verify this, I feel miserable. Absolutely miserable, deep down within my soul until we get things settled. Do you feel like that? Well, you should, and you should feel the same way when it comes to your Lord and Savior. There should be an anxiousness. There should be something there that is just not right, and I don't feel right until we go to the Lord and lay it all out before Him. Our spiritual walk, is it sweet? Does it grow sweeter as the days go by, as the old gospel song says? It should. That relationship should get better. Now, again, and again, I use the marriage illustration again to talk about that very thing. My pastor used to say, he said, you know, the longer you're married, it gets sweeter and sweeter and gooder and gooder. And those of you who have been married a long time, you know that. Now, I know we're speaking to some, we've got some almost newlyweds in here, and you think, man, we can live the rest of our lives off of love, and it's just going to be bliss, okay? And that's true, but you don't realize this, is that the longer you're married, I think some of you could admit this tonight, that you love your spouse more now than you did when you got married. You can't understand that when you're young, but you can when you get older. Because you grow and they become a part of you. They are a part of you. That's hard to explain, but it's true. And I think that that is really what our relationship with the Lord should be like. It needs to get sweeter and sweeter, and it gets gooder and gooder. How is it with you? Closely connected to it, I think a third result is if we do not forgive our trespasses or the trespasses of others, and our Father doesn't forgive us, our intimate fellowship is impaired. Our intimate fellowship is impaired. There's an intimacy in marriage that can't be explained. I think it's a glimpse of the intimacy that we have in Christ and the love that He has for us and we have for Him. It is the Lord giving us and showing us what true love can be all about. We're not perfect at it, but we're going to experience that kind of love continually for eternity when we're in heaven. But that relationship, that intimacy, can be impaired if we bear the grudge. If we hold on to the things that have been done to us or said about us or whatever the causes may have happened in our lives. I am thankful tonight, though, and I thought of a verse here in regard to this, though. One of the great verses of Scripture that speaks of our relationship to God. It speaks of the full fellowship that we can have. And John writes in his first epistle, in that verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. My friends, that is a beautiful, sweet relationship verse with our Lord. And isn't it a wonderful thing to know that no matter how many times I fall and I fail and I do all those things, that I can go to Him and that relationship can be repaired immediately. And we're reconciled. The definition I like of reconciliation is to restore to friendship and harmony, a good musical term. To restore to friendship and harmony once again. That is reconciliation. And that's exactly what John says in that verse. But that cannot happen if we do not forgive or have or maintain or possess the spirit of forgiveness for others. You say, Pastor, this is difficult. This is not an easy thing. I know that. Again, the depth of the hurt in my life is unknown to others. I know that too, probably. And there may be some that have never voiced the hurt and the longings of the heart and the hurt of the soul. But my friend, listen. If nobody else knows it, there is one who does. There's one who knows all about you. There's one who knows the feeling of the infirmities. There's one who knows the hurt. Remember this. Whenever you start focusing on the hurt, remember this, that your Lord, our Savior, was hurt. Not only physically, but think about this. I think one of the sad statements in the Gospels is when it says, "And they all forsook him." All of them. Our Lord being a man and having an experience, emotion, do you not think that that hurt him? I do. And yet our Lord, as he looked down from that cross, as he suffered and he died, not only was he saying this to his disciples, but he was saying it to all mankind. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm overwhelmed by that. Father, forgive them. Those who railed against him, those who spat upon him, those who did all kinds of things toward him, he looks down with love beyond our comprehension and says, I forgive them. Father, forgive them. And the key here is that we must do the same. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness that we have through Christ. Lord, I pray tonight that if there are those here, Lord, indeed all of us, including this preacher who has anything against anybody, Lord, that we will forgive, that we will have the attitude and the spirit of forgiveness in our hearts. Lord, even if there are those that would never come and ask for it, Lord, those who would refuse reconciliation, Father, help us to emulate our Lord and have that spirit of forgiveness. And when they do come, we would forgive because you command us to do so. Oh, Lord, help us not to harbor anything that would hinder our relationship and our walk with Thee. For, Lord, we desire for it to grow. We desire for it to be that sweet, intimate time in our lives that we can spend with You. Lord, I pray that we would tonight repair those relationships if need be, not only with others, but You. And so, Father, help us in this time, we pray.